Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. 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 Some of you have asked me about my parents. They are doing good, okay? They have been taking a little bit of time off. They usually do this every year close to camp meeting. And so there's nothing wrong with them. They're not doing bad. They're actually doing really, really good. And they are scheduled to be here next week, all right? I say scheduled because sometimes things change. But I'm pretty sure they're going to be here next week because I'm scheduled to be here the week after that. So, you know, the way things work, sometimes we go every other week, and sometimes you get one of us for a long time, and, you know, the other one, you know, not as many, but praise God. Somebody will be here to minister the word to you each and every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. But my parents are doing good, all right? So nothing's wrong. I know, you know, Dad has had some back problems, but doesn't seem to be bothering him. Either he's just being tough about it, or you know, I really hadn't asked him about it because he hadn't complained about it. So, sometimes, you know, it is bothering him. He's just not saying anything about it. I don't know, but he's doing really, really good. So today I want to talk to you about a popular kids game that many of you might have played whenever you were a kid. Maybe you played it last week. I don't know. You know, it doesn't have to be for kids, but my granddaughter was playing it the other day. It's called Simon Says. Anybody ever remember playing Simon Says as a kid, or maybe last week whenever you were playing that? You know, hopefully most of you probably hadn't played Simon Says in a long time. But if the way the game goes is that if Simon says something, you have to do it. But if Simon doesn't say it, and you do it, then you're out. You know, and so it'll be like Simon says, hop on one foot, and somebody will say, hop on the other foot. Well, that's Simon didn't say it, so you were out. Now, I have no clue who Simon is. I'm sure he's the guy who invented the game. You know, the all-powerful, all-knowing one. I do know that. Obviously, a lot of kids play that little game. And we get older, and we probably don't play Simon Says in a long time. But sometimes we have something happen. Like, I think I was about 12 years old one time, and my mom asked me to do something. And I asked her, well, Mom, why do I have to do it? And she says, because I said so. Amen. Has anybody ever had your mom or dad say it was because I said so? Well, me being me, most of you probably wouldn't have done this. I'm surprised I didn't get a spanking for it, but I actually looked at my mom and said, but Simon didn't say, and you're not Simon. So actually, I got a chuckle instead of a slap or something like that, but I probably deserved to get in trouble. But that was kind of how I was. I was kind of a smart aleck sometimes, because it didn't matter if your mama said or your daddy says so. That's all that really mattered. Simon didn't have to say anything about that situation. But tonight, I want to talk to you about Jesus Says. All right, Jesus is greater than Simon. And there's many things in the Bible that Jesus says. And, you know, and it's very important for us to do what Jesus says. More important than it is to do what Simon says. You know, whenever you do what Simon says, maybe you're going to win a game. But if you do what Jesus says, you know, it'll affect your whole life. It'll make you have a better life here. It'll also make you have a better life in the future. You know, when we all go to heaven soon and very soon, when the roll is called up yonder, y'all will be there. Amen. So it's very important. Now, I don't have the time to read everything that Jesus said, but we're going to look at a few things that he says that will help us on our daily life. But I think it is important to understand what Jesus does say. In fact, it's good to understand what the Bible says, not only what Jesus says, but, you know, the complete Bible is divine utterance for the Holy Spirit. And my grandfather always would tell me, whenever you would ask him any question, any kind of question about life, he would always come back with, what does the Bible say about it? And, you know, if you don't know what the Bible says about it, then you need to find out what it says, because that's the answer. Now, a lot of times, unfortunately, in the day and age that we live in, most of you are a little bit older, and probably, you know, you've probably read the Bible many times and probably read books or whatever, but, you know, today's generation, we don't read. You know, this generation doesn't read. In fact, books are not selling as much as they used to, and if they do read them, a lot of things read them online or whatever. And a lot of people, they don't go with what it says in the Word. They go with what somebody else says it says. And, you know, I'm assuming that most of the time, most ministers, you know, can rightfully divide the word of God. But if they can't show you what it says in the word, it doesn't matter what they say. You know, they're not Jesus, all right? They might be like Simon, but it doesn't matter. I mean, I've heard people even tell me, well, brother so-and-so says this, and brother so-and-so says that. Well, I don't care what brother so-and-so says. What does the Bible say? Because what the Bible says is very important, and specifically today we're going to look at what Jesus says. Now, it's pretty easy to see what Jesus says, because if you have a modern Bible, Jesus' words are in red letters. And if Jesus said it, it's in red letters. And I've heard people say, well, he didn't really mean this, it was that. And that, you know. No, if he says it, he means what he says. All right, so we're going to look at a few things. First of all, we're going to look at this. Jesus' first miracle, the wedding at Cana, we actually talked about it. I think we talked about this even last week. But Jesus' first miracle is when he changed the water into wine. It's, you know, obviously we know the story. The wine supply ran out, and they didn't have any more wine at the, almost at funeral, at the wedding. All right, it wasn't a funeral, it was a wedding. All right. And verse number 3 of John chapter 2, reading the NLT, says this: the wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him they have no more wine. Once again, we read this last week. He says, dear woman, that is not our problem. That's what Jesus said, actually. Now, you know, it's kind of funny. I love that answer, because that's an answer I would probably say something just like that as well. And then he goes on to say, my time has not yet come. It's not time for me to enter into the ministry and start performing miracles. And the next verse says, but his mother told the servants, do what he tells you. So basically, his mother understood that the words of Jesus and the instructions of Jesus were very important. Do what he tells you. And what happened? Jesus told them what to do, and they did it, and everything worked out okay. All right, but what I'm here to tell you is that what Jesus says is way, way more important than what Simon says. But it's interesting, if any of you are playing some game Simon says, that whatever Simon says, you endeavor to do it, but sometimes we don't always endeavor to do what Jesus says. And that's kind of interesting. So let's look at a few things, not everything, because I don't have time. I mean, we're not going to be here for a few hours, because if you want to look at everything he says, we'd have to be here for a few hours, maybe a few days. But we're going to start out in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. This is one thing that Jesus says. He says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Understand, he didn't say a new suggestion. He didn't say, you know, this is something that you might want to try to do. A commandment is something, you know, he's like commanding you, literally commanding you in Jesus' name. All right. A new commandment. He says this: to love each other just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Now, sometimes people read that and they said, well, that's just his disciples. No, it wasn't for you 12 and no more. It was for anyone that was a follower of Christ. And the way that we can know that they're a follower of Christ is that they love one another. Amen. And so if you don't, now this is what Jesus said, not Simon, all right? Jesus said to love one another. In fact, he says to love one another as much as I loved you. And everyone who was in that room knew that Jesus loved him. All right, and so as much as I love you, you should love others. Now, he didn't say you should only love your family or you should only love your close friends. He said you should love one another, meaning whoever you're around, that's who you should love. You're like, you know, and I've heard many, many Christians since I was a little bitty boy tell me, I have trouble with my love walk. Now, you know, some people will admit that, but here's the thing. Why should you have trouble with your love walk when it's a commandment that we were given by Jesus to love one another? And some people said, well, I just can't love that person. You know what? You're a liar. Right. You know why I know you're a liar? Because the Bible says you can do all things through Christ that gives you the strength. You have the strength and ability to like a person even when nobody else does. All right? And, you know, now I get it. Maybe you don't like everything the person does. Maybe you don't like the way they live their life. But it's not, he didn't say love the way they live their life. He said love them. Love them. Treat them with respect. You know, and I believe in today's day and age, we don't treat people with respect. Now, you know, young people don't treat their elders with respect. I mean, you know, it's kind of sad. You know, but we should treat each other with respect. We should love one another. I've heard even Christians say, "Well, I hate this group of people." Well, you can't hate anything. My grandfather actually told me one time, he says that hate is one of the worst words in the dictionary, one of the worst words that we can say. In fact, the only thing that you really are allowed to hate is the devil. Anything else, the Bible tells us we have to love. That's what Jesus said, not Simon, not anybody else. Now, people are like, well, I don't really like that. I don't care whether you like it or not. It's a new commandment, not a suggestion, but a commandment that you love one another. Now, in one of the other gospels, it says it this way, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. And the neighbor doesn't mean the person next to you, all right? It means anybody around, you should love them as much as you love yourself. Now, if you happen to love yourself quite a bit, then you have to really love your neighbor quite a bit as well. You know, and we live in a selfie generation where people take selfies of themselves. And I was talking about this morning, I have a person. I'm not gonna mention any names, you know, because I don't want to you know, make fun of them, you know, at least in public. They're not in this room, so it doesn't really matter. But you know, you wouldn't even know them if I told you. But every day, I know I follow them on social media, and almost every day, I'm always greeted with a selfie of this person at the gym, flexing their muscles in front of a mirror. Every day, day after day after day after day. And I'm thinking, you know, they love themselves. Either that or they want everybody else to love them. I'm not sure what their deal is, but every day, it's always the same pose, usually in the same mirror, probably in the same gym, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, that's awesome. I mean, you know, if my body looked that good, I might be taking selfies of myself every day in the mirror too. But you know, the point is, if you love yourself, we have to love others as much as we love ourselves. And it doesn't matter who they are, we still have to love them. In fact, Jesus Christ himself, he hung around with some people that most of us probably wouldn't hang around. You know, because he loved people in spite of their issues, in spite of their problems, in spite of their, you know, shortcomings. I mean, We see he hung around prostitutes. He hung around crooks. You know, one of my favorite stories about Zacchaeus, the wee little man. The wee little man was he. You know, he was a crook. And Jesus said, "I want to come to your house. I want to hang out with you. I want to eat with you. I want to have dinner with you." Now, most people, you know, probably didn't want to have dinner with this guy. He was a known crook. All right, most people are like, you know what? I want to stay as far away from this guy as possible. But Jesus, you know, he overlooked who the person was because he knew who the person could be. You know, and, you know, a lot of times you see people that are, maybe that they're, in what we think, full of sin. But you know what? Someone who's sold out to sin can also be sold out to Christ as well. You know, and it is interesting, you know, a lot of times if you'll spend time with people that you thought that, man, you know, they're just a sinful person or whatever, and you look back and you start to talk with them, a lot of times you'll find out that their background, they grew up in the church, and something happened that caused them to turn away from God. And, you know, a lot of times they'll be tenderhearted if you spend some time with them. But if you kind of throw them out with all the, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. I mean, you know, you don't have an opportunity to minister to people. So we should love one another. We're commanded to love one another. In fact, Jesus only gave us two commands. The what I call the no-duh command is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our understanding. And every Christian should do that because that's what we do. That's what we're Christians. The second command the Bible says is like it, is to love our neighbor as ourself. And if it means like it means just as much as we love God, we should love other people. You know, and I know it's interesting because when people talk about my grandfather, talk about his life, and everybody, you know, he's known as, according to Wikipedia, as the father of the modern day faith movement. But the most people say that his most outstanding quality in life was his ability to love everybody. You know, and that's an ability that I thank God I've got from him. And I endeavor to do. I endeavor to love everybody, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter how much or how little they've accomplished. Doesn't matter. I treat people the same. You know, whether they're in the White House or the outhouse, it doesn't really matter. We treat people the same. Now, in today's society, that if you are in the White House, they do treat you like you're in the outhouse anyway. So I guess a lot of people are like that too. So, but. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter, you know, what you've done. In fact, it is interesting, you know, being around different people in life, you know, and it's just human nature. People like to name drop, you know, like they know this person, they know that person. I don't really care. You know what? The only person I care that you know is Jesus Christ. I don't care if you know the president. I don't care if you know the governor. I don't care if you know people that I know. I do care if you know Jesus. You know, and today we're talking about things that Jesus said and he commanded us to do. And one of them was to be nice and love one another. And that we can do it because we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. All right, let's move on. I kind of spent more time there than I probably should. But let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Peter came and asked Jesus a question. He said this. He said, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times." So obviously one thing that Jesus told us was to forgive. And so Peter already knew that, but he was like, you know, probably seven times, that's God's number. So that's probably all you need to forgive people. Right? And Jesus answered. He said, this is not Simon's answer. This is Jesus' answer. He says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Basically, Jesus was saying, you know what? When somebody does you wrong, keep forgiving them over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know, a lot of times, probably most of us, you know, we don't even want to go the seven times like Peter was suggesting. You know, we've watched too much baseball, and so we have this three strike rule. You know, after three times, you're out. You know, three strikes and you're out. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, but Jesus says, you know what? We have to go over, above, and beyond. You know, and that's part of being what we call Christ-like. That, you know, sometimes what we have to do is we have to put on the mind of Christ, because what would Jesus do? It doesn't matter what Simon would do. What matters is, what would Jesus do? Jesus would keep forgiving them. Yeah, but they're an idiot. That's okay. Forgive them anyhow. And that's what I have to do a lot of times in life, because, you know, people are people. And if they wouldn't be people, then they wouldn't be here. So people are people. They do weird stuff. They do stupid stuff. And so what I try to do is I make excuses for them, you know, even when they don't deserve it. You know, I just think, well, they're just an idiot. That's why they did that. Or they were just listening to the wrong crowd. To the wrong people, or they had wrong influences, or they got something in their mind. And, you know, it is interesting because sometimes stuff is stupid enough as putting a Facebook status on a, you know, out there, and people hit you up and say, "Are you talking about me?" "No, I never even thought about you when I put that status on there. I was talking about me, actually." But, you know, they kind of have that. Even sometimes whenever we're ministering, sometimes and somebody in the church has had some issues, they'll come and take offense because they thought you're talking about them. No, I'm talking about everybody else. You know, and a lot of times that we all do stupid stuff. You know, and sometimes you know, I know people like, "Well, but look, you know, they did this, I only did that." You know, let's take two different sins out here. You know, part of the top 10, you know, the Ten Commandments. You know, you remember the Ten Commandments? There's Ten Commandments. And one of the sins there in the Ten Commandments is, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," or "Thou shalt not lie." All right? I mean, that's one of the 10. Now I'm going to tell you that that's probably the one that most people break more than any of the other 10. All right? Now, there is another commandment there that says that thou shalt not murder. All right, now, probably less people actually murder than lie. All right? And so, but according to the list, they're just as bad. But now we will treat someone as that was a murderer a whole lot worse than we'll treat him as a liar. Now, I will say you'll do more prison time for being a murderer than you will be a liar. You might do, depending on what you lie about, you might do some prison time for that as well. But the fact of the matter is, according to the word, they're the same. And we should treat people the same. You know what? We've all come short and sinned. All right? Remember the other verse that Jesus said, he without sin cast the first stone and everybody ran away because nobody was going to throw any stones? Well, remember that. Whenever you're not wanting to forgive somebody because they've done, you know, some bad stuff. Now, when it comes to the ultimate thing, well, actually, I'll get to that in a minute. Let's look at the next thing that Jesus said. He said, you know, forgive people over and over again. The next thing he says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, he says this, do not judge others and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Skipping down to verse number 12, it says this. This is what we call the golden rule. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. So Jesus says, not Simon, but Jesus, he says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Now, you know what he's really saying? If you judge others, you will be judged. Now, he says you're going to be judged by the same judgment that you treat others. So how you treat other people is how you're going to be judged. Now, it is interesting. So if you follow this out, you could be the best Christian ever. Follow all the rules. But if you judge people, you're going to be judged. Now, I don't want to be judged. Now, there are a lot of people that do things that I wouldn't do or you know, I might not, but what they do is between them and God. They're going to have to be judged for what they do. I'm not here to judge them. I'm here to love them according to God's word. Regardless of what they've done. Regardless of decisions that they've made. You know, and it's interesting because Christians, you know, a person that's very judgmental, whenever they do something, when people start judging them, then they don't want judgment, they want mercy. But you know what? You should treat other people like you want to be treated. If you always want judgment, then you should judge others. But if you want mercy, you should always extend mercy to others. Now, what I was going to say a few moments ago, I always think about the Apostle Paul. You know, you realize he had a past life. Yes. And his name was Saul. Now, Saul walked around with orders that he could put Christians to death. You know, he wasn't making Christians, he was destroying them. Now, that's pretty bad. Now, maybe he wasn't the one committing murder, but he was the one ordering the murders to be committed. Now, that would, you know, kind of, in our own mind, thinking, well, you know, if you're doing that, there's no way that God can use you. But think about this. Every day, you probably quote verses that the Apostle Paul penned. Yes. So what if the Christians of the world, and Jesus for that matter, would treat the Apostle Paul or the man called Saul like we do? I mean, you know, you realize if all the other Christians would have judged him, he wouldn't have been able to have in any kind of, any kind of ministry. You know, in today's day and age, and I get it, people make mistakes. But praise God that one day that God got a hold of him. And what did God do? He extended love, mercy, and compassion over the man. And because of the love, mercy, and compassion, this man went on to write the majority of the New Testament. And the verses that he penned and the churches that he started and the things that he says has affected Christianity for generation after generation. And you know, I've often thought, especially whenever there in Philippi at the jail where Paul and Silas were, and you know, this is before Paul had any churches. You know, he's on his, you know, so I've often thought, what if Paul would have died there in that prison? All the scriptures that I talk about and I preach on all the time, I wouldn't have had those unless somebody else would have. You know, I'm assuming that God would have used somebody else to pen those same scriptures. But the point is that this was a man who we would call a murderer, who we would judge. But Jesus said to judge not, lest you be judged. I don't care what people have done. I don't care how bad they've been. You know what? God can still use them. God can turn it around. But you know, I have found out that a lot of times people disqualify themselves because other Christians are judgmental. And the one thing that I can't stand as a minister of the gospel and is judgmental Christians. I mean, that's the one thing that bothers me more than anybody else. I mean, I'm okay with the sinners. I'm okay with all the sin. I'm not okay with judgmental Christians. Because one of the biggest things that I hear when people leave the church and the reason why they haven't come back is because they're feeling that they're being judged. Now, sometimes you realize you can judge people without saying a word. Now, women are really good with that, all right? Especially whenever somebody walks in that they don't look what they consider appropriate. And the way they kind of look at them, you can kind of tell that they don't like their outfit, they don't like their hair, they don't like, you know, whatever. You know, it's, you know, guys are pretty oblivious half the time, so they don't know what's going on anyway. So, but women, especially to other women, you know, they walk in, they're like, you know, sometimes they're a little judgmental. And they often say, you know, it's hard to beat your first impression. Well, you know what? Many Christians' first impression of Paul was the man called Saul. And Paul had to overcome that first impression. He had to go from a Christian killer to a guy that's winning souls to Christ. I mean, you know, that's why probably at first the Christians, you know, didn't trust him. You know, they want to make sure he really had a change of heart. But Jesus, not Simon, tells us not to judge one another. You know, people do stupid things once again. I get it. I understand. You know, people say things they shouldn't say. They do things that they shouldn't do. You know what? But we have to love them and we have to extend love, compassion, and mercy to everybody, no matter what they've done. You know, because the Bible, I mean, Jesus said we got to keep forgiving them over and over and over and over again. And you know, there are so many times that people have opportunities to judge people. And the sad part about it is, you know, in the olden days, I mean, you can judge them, just you and your friends. Nowadays, you can judge people online and you actually have an audience that reads your judgment. Now, you can delete that, but people read it. I mean, how many times have you seen the news and they're saying that so-and-so had a tweet? Now, they've since deleted it, but this is what it said. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, it's hard to take those words back. Now, see, in the olden days, before social media and stuff, I mean, it was mainly the words were between you and them and maybe you and a few other people. Nowadays, people put that out to the whole world for anybody to read. You know, and so we need to watch what we say. And then I love this, is I'm not being judgmental, but you are. Yeah. Amen. Whenever you use that word, but, you are. You know, if you want to do any, say anything about it, say, you know, just pray for them. Just pray for them. Yeah, but they're rude and they're mean and they're this and they're that. And they're, pray for them. That's how you love someone, is you pray for them. In fact, the Bible, actually, another thing that Jesus said was not in my notes, but one other thing, he said to pray for those that despitefully use you.
That's right.
Do you realize that means that people that on purpose try to make your life miserable? Jesus told us to pray for that person. Not Simon, because Simon wouldn't say that. But Jesus would. Now, like I said, you know, this morning I was talking about judgment. You know, I think that we have watched too many reality television shows where we have judges. You know, and so we want to be a judge like the judge. And, you know, interesting part about it is kind of a, you know, goes along with my message, is one of the most famous reality TV judges is a guy named Simon. But just because you see reality TV judges doesn't mean, you know, gives you a right to judge people. And this is not reality TV. In essence, it's life. Now, here's something else. You know what? If somebody judges you, doesn't mean that you also need to judge them back the same way they judged you. It says, you know, do unto others like you would want them to do to you, not like they did to you. And that's what happens a lot of times is people judge us, people say things to us, and we respond. Well, responding is as bad as doing it. You know what? One thing you have to do is just not respond. You know, and I know that that's one thing that my grandfather was very good at, is not responding to any kind of criticism that ever, you know, came our way. And in fact, he very seldom would even do television interviews. You know, because that way, you know, a lot of times when you do TV interviews, they'll twist your words and they'll make you say things you didn't say. But if you don't say anything, they can't twist anything. The only major television interview that my grandfather ever said and ever did, and it was a, you know, now he's done a few television interviews where we had reporters come and we actually had a sit down. One of the news reporters there in Tulsa came and did a 3-part news story and, you know, interviewed him about his past life and, you know, everything that's gone on, just want to know about him. But he was in New York State one time and ministering, and this is back, I believe, around 87, when there was some scandals among TV preachers, and, you know, they wanted to ask his opinion. And in fact, my grandfather even says they had a cameraman there, had a cigar, you know, and it was kind of funny when it's a religious meeting, the guy's holding the cigar, and they asked him, they said, "Brother Hagin, do you have any comment about some of the religious TV scandals going on?" And the first thing he said was no. And then all of a sudden, something on the inside quickened him, and he said, "No, I do have a comment." So he looked in the camera, and he said these words: "Putting another man's candle out will never make yours any brighter." Now, I don't know where he got that. I mean, I don't know if he read that somewhere. I don't know, but it's been something that I've always thought about in my entire life. You know what? Just by trying to make them darker doesn't make you any brighter. You know, and the thing about it is, you realize when you come against a fellow brother or sister in Christ Jesus, all you're doing is hurting the kingdom, not helping the kingdom. You're like, "Yeah, but they did, you know, who cares what they've done?" You know, we've all fallen short. You know, but Jesus said not to judge, but to love one another. All right, I'm going to move on. I mean, like I said, I've taken more time than I probably should have. I'm going to move on to the keynote scripture of this ministry, Mark chapter 11. Now, many people have got on to us and our ministry and said, you know, that we're part of the name it and claim it bunch. But, you know, interesting part about it is we are because Jesus said we could.
That's right.
Because these are other things that Jesus said. And verse number 22, which is my favorite verse, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Have faith in God." And that's a verse that I live by every day. My faith is always in God. Amen. If you can also read it on your money, "In God we trust." You know, I trust in God with all my heart. You know, lean not to my own understanding, like it says there in the Old Testament. I mean, you know, always trust in God. You know what? God will never fail. And so one thing that Jesus told us is to always trust in God. And now that'll change your life. You know, when bad things happen, trust God. When good things happen, trust God. When anything happens, you just trust God. Because if you trust God, God cannot and will not fail. My faith is always in God. But he goes on to say this: "I tell you the truth." It's an interesting part about it. You know what? I believe every time Jesus spoke, it was the truth. But he says, I tell you the truth. This is the truth.
That's right.
And nothing but the truth. Amen. And so when Jesus says, not Simon, but Jesus said, this is the truth. No, it's the truth. Now, I normally don't read from the New Living Translation because I can quote this in the old King James, but I'm going to do this today just because it's a little different than what we normally says. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen.
Amen.
What Jesus says, not Simon, but Jesus, he says, you know what? When you come to a situation where there is a mountain that's stopping you, whether it be a physical mountain, whether it be a mental mountain, whether it be a financial mountain, whether it be whatever kind of mountain it is, you have the authority. I tell you the truth, he says. Now, first of all, he says, put your faith in God. Secondly, he says, speak to your mountain. Now, I want you to understand, he didn't say to beg your mountain to leave. He said, speak to your mountain, because sometimes I find people that seems like they, you know, they say they're praying, but it sounds like they're begging. Lord, please, 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 with sugar on top, will you move my mountain? He didn't even say pray about your mountain. He says to speak to it.
Right.
He says to command it to leave. And he says, before that, he says, I tell you the truth, you can do this. This is what Jesus said, not Simon, all right? This is what Jesus said. He says, tell the mountain to move. Tell the mountain to move. Now it goes on to say, he says, but you must really believe it will happen. So when you speak to your mountain, you have to literally believe it will move. Now that is the problem with most people. They're speaking to their mountain because some book told them to, or somebody told them to. But you know what? If the somebody isn't Jesus, it doesn't really matter. Jesus said that you can speak to your mountain and you really have to believe it's going to move. Because if you don't really believe it's going to move, it's not going to move. It's not going to move. You have to believe it will move. Now, why will it move? Because your faith is in God. It's planted in God, not because you're special, but because you speak to that mountain. Now, it doesn't say, if you beg to the mountain, it doesn't say if you fast and pray. It doesn't say, you know, if you give a big offering. It says if you speak and you believe. And you believe. See, the Bible also says that all things, it says that, you know, works if you believe. If you believe. If you believe, all things are possible.
Amen.
If you believe. Now, it doesn't say if I believe, it says if you believe. Because some people, I say, you know, they've come to their pastor and they say, well, pastor, if you believe. Now it's okay to find two people to agree together. That's okay. But the thing is, what do you believe? Because what you believe is going to happen. And if you don't believe anything's going to happen, then it's not going to happen because it's really what you believe. The Bible says all things are possible if you believe. Anyway, it says, but you must really believe it'll happen and have no doubt in your heart. I mean, there is not a doubt it's not going to happen. I mean, see, to not have a doubt means that you haven't even considered it not happening. Why would you consider it not to happen? Because Jesus already gave you the authority. When Jesus said, not Simon, but Jesus. You know, and, you know, it's interesting because if you're playing that game, Simon says, I've seen people jump up and down, stand on one foot, you know, do handstands or whatever because Simon said so. But when it comes to what Jesus said, well, I guess I'll love people. I guess I'll forgive people. You know, but can you believe? Can you speak? Now, you know, what my grandfather always taught me this. He says, you know, it's okay to pray about something, but pray about something, get the answer. Usually when the answer comes, you have peace. You know, that's what we call the peace that passes all understanding. When that peace comes, it's already yours by faith. I don't have to pray about it anymore. I'm at a point now, I just thank God that it happened.
Amen.
I thank God because I've heard people, you know, say, well, Craig, are you praying about this? Are you praying about this? No, I've already prayed about it. I've already gotten my answer. I've already gotten my peace. And so each and every day, I thank God it's already happened.
There you go.
Because that's faith. Now, if I'm praying it's going to happen, that's not faith. Going is future tense. Faith has already happened. See, you know, and a lot of people are praying it's going to happen when it has happened by faith.
That's right.
You know, Just believe. Just believe. Many people, like I said, they're trying to what I call beg and pray. I mean, Lord, please, please, Lord, please, please, Lord, please, please. There's something right now. There's an individual right now that I've already prayed about. I got peace. So the man's going to live and not die. And I just keep saying it over and over again. You know, and, you know, some of the relatives say, well, are you praying? And I don't really tell them I'm not praying because I don't want them to hurt. And I don't want to hurt their feelings or whatever. But I already have peace about it. No, I can't say I don't have a thus saith the Lord, but I have peace. Now, so my peace is that they're going to live. So, I mean, that's where I stand. Now, if I start not having peace anymore, then I'll start doing some more praying. But every time I try to pray, I keep having peace. Amen. You know, now there has been times, too, I will say this, especially in a situation that praying for somebody to live and not die, I began to pray, and all of a sudden, inside, I knew they're going to pass on. The more I prayed, I knew it was going to happen. And I couldn't even pray for him because I knew it was going to happen. You know, I didn't get peace. You know, and, you know, sometimes you have knowing somebody, you know, but in this situation, I got peace. Every time I prayed for him on the phone, him individually over a week ago before he went to the hospital. And actually, he went to the hospital originally, you know, and he's like, he told the person in the hospital, he goes, yeah, I got a miracle. When Craig prayed, he felt like he was dying at home, and we said, you know, he needs to go to the hospital, get checked out, and all of a sudden everything was going good. And then, you know, how things, some of my people go to the hospital and they start taking what the Bible, what people say as a turn for the worst. And so his family's all freaking out. He's all freaking out. I still have peace. I have the same peace I had when I prayed for him before he went to the hospital. Yeah. You know, and I just keep saying, you know, he's going to be fine. You know, said, you know, I just know. You know, sometimes you don't know, but I know. I know, you know. And, you know, I don't want to stand out on a limb, but I know he's going to be okay. And so my wife's like, are you sure? I'm like, he's going to be fine. And if I start not having peace about it, see, I believe the Holy Ghost will quicken us. And if I start not having peace, now, the biggest thing in his issue, you know, his issue was, is he was falling into fear. Yes. He was afraid. And if you're afraid that your faith cannot work, I mean, you have to, don't be afraid. All right, it goes on to say, verse 24, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Now, understand, it says you believe that you have received it, not you're going to receive it. You already have received it. So Jesus says that we can pray and believe that we've received, and we will have it. Then he goes on. Most people actually quit right there because they don't want to read the next verse. But I want to read the next verse because it goes on to some of the things we said before. He says this, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins too. Now, see, the reason I said that is because that goes along with the first part of my sermon. We need to love people. We need to forgive people. We don't need to judge people. We don't need to hold grudges, because you realize when you do that, you'll affect your own faith. Yes. And it's very important to walk in love. You say, well, and people always tell me, well, it's hard to walk. I don't know how it's hard to walk in love. You know, if you can't walk in love, then you don't have the ability to put the mind of Christ on, because you know what? If you think like Jesus thinks, you're not mad at people. Jesus loves everybody. And, you know, that's how he thinks. All right, there's many more things that Jesus said, but I'm going to leave us off with one more thing. John 14, and this is a big thing. John 14, starting with verse number 12. Once again, he starts this in the New Living with, I tell you the truth. This is what Jesus said, not Simon. He says, I'm going to tell you the truth and nothing but the truth. He says, anyone who believes in me, that means, you know, anyone that's saved, that's a child of God, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Now, that's a big deal, all right? But he goes on to say, not just what I've done, but even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. So he starts out, this is what Jesus said, not Simon, I'm going to tell you the truth, that anyone who believes in me We'll do the works that I've done and greater works. Now, let's think about what Jesus has done. I mean, we started out, the first thing that we're talking about today was he changed the water into wine. Now, that's literally impossible. You know, we read about him feeding the 5,000, read about people being healed under his ministries, people being set free, people being, you know, free from demons and all kinds of things that happen. We read about him walking on the water. We read about him talking to the storm and speaking to the storm. All these things we read about, and Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Remember, this is what Jesus said, not Simon. The things that I did and greater things shall you do.
That's right.
If you believe in me. Now, you know, the reason why we don't see these things, because we don't believe. We might believe in him, but we don't believe the things that we can do those things. We don't believe in the power that we possess on the inside. But we need to understand that, you know what? The days of miracles is not over. And we have the power to speak to things and they have to change. Not they might change, not if we pray hard enough they're going to change, but they have to change. He goes on to say these words. He says, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So he says that if we ask for anything, he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. Whatever we ask. Whatever, you know. And so if you don't like where you are and what you're going through, then ask him to change it. Because Jesus says right here, not Simon, but Jesus says that we can ask anything in his name and he will do it. He said it twice to us and in consecutive verses. That whatever we ask, he will do. And now that's why we also get the word, we have not because we ask not. If you don't like what you're going through, if you don't like your situation, then ask for it to change.
Amen.
Now, see, a lot of times people think in line with natural laws. All right, now, naturally, you might know how much money your parents or some of your family members have, and because you know what kind of extra income they might have, you know whether you can ask them for an amount of money and or not. Or there are some times you've asked people for an amount of money and said, you know what, if I had it, I would give it to you, but I just don't have it. Here's the thing. When you ask Jesus, he has the wherewithal. I love that word, the wherewithal, to do whatever you ask. He's not limited. You know, where your family members and other people might be limited, he's not limited. He says, ask anything. What do you need? Ask for it. So in essence, this is Jesus saying, and not Simon, whatever we need, ask for what we need. Instead of going, he didn't say, whatever you need, gripe about it and have a pity party and tell everybody on Facebook. He says, if you need something, just ask me.
Amen.
In my name. So what does that mean? How do you do that? Simply like this. Jesus, this is what I need. Whatever it is, you speak whatever you need. And I'm asking for it right now in your name. And we thank you, Father, that it's done now. And we're asking it now, and we believe that it's happening now, and it's done. Amen. Well, that's not a long prayer. It doesn't have to be a long prayer.
That's right.
I'm just doing what the Word says. I'm doing what Jesus said. He says to ask him. And so I would ask Jesus the same way, you know, if I'm going to ask my dad, you know, growing up, when you turn 16, you ask your dad if you can borrow the car. I would walk up in there and say, Dad, you know, I kind of want to go on a date. Can I borrow the car? And $20.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
And if there's no gas in the car, I need 20 more to fill it up. You know. Of course, nowadays you need more than $20 for a date. You might, if you want to see a movie and go and say $50, maybe $100, you know, because I really like this girl and you know I want to impress them or whatever. But you know, that's what you do. I just go ask. I was never intimidated about asking my parents for anything because you know what? The only thing they could say was no. I can handle that. But here's what. Jesus is not going to say no. He's not going to say no. I already know this before I ask that he's never going to say no to me.
Come on,
I mean, that's pretty awesome. When I mean, you know, people talk about having yes, man, but sometimes it feels you don't have any yes, man. You have a bunch of no, man. But Jesus is always a yes, man. He's always going to say, yes, okay, you know, I'll do it. Now, there are some times that when he might not do it at our timing, and we get mad because it's not our timing. You know, and then we have the reason that a lot of times that we don't see things in fruition is because we have a person called the devil out there. Now, here's the thing. We know the devil's a liar. And I point it out all the time. One of the scriptures I read all the time is John 10:10, where the Bible says the thief, the devil, is a liar. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what happens is whenever we're standing in faith, the devil will try to come and try to tell you it's not going to happen. And sometimes you start believing it. But Jesus said, you know what? Don't believe him. Believe me. Amen. Put your faith in me. Because I said so. I said so. And Jesus is a whole lot better than Simon. And I tell you what, man, if we'll just do some things that Jesus says, our world will be a better place to live. We'll be happier. We'll be more joyful. And I get it. I mean, there are people who have done stupid stuff to you and that kind of thing. But you know what? Just forgive them. I always think about this, and I think about Jesus hanging on the cross. You know, it's got to be a pretty bad thing. I mean, you've just been beaten half to death. You know, people are making fun of you. They're mocking you. I mean, these are the same guys that were in your last meeting. And they're only making fun of you and doing all these things. And you're looking out there and, you know, thinking of, you think about this. And what did Jesus say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. I mean, that's the ultimate. You know, and sometimes you have to be like Jesus. I mean, you know, maybe you feel you've been barbecued by certain people and they've said this and they've said that, you know, and you got to look at them and say, you know, Father, forgive them because they don't even know what they're doing. Sure. Instead of getting mad about it, instead of writing about it, you know, writing a book about it, a story about it, he just said, forgive them. And they say, well, that's too hard. No, it's not. There's nothing too hard. In fact, Jesus commands us to do it. Amen. He says so. And I tell you what, ultimately, man, your life will be a whole lot better, not just here on earth, but you know, in the future. You won't face judgment. You won't face any, I mean it's going to be awesome. And I tell you what, I mean, there are some things in my life that, man, I mean, it feels like, I know, I can't handle it anymore. But you know what? I've turned those things over to God and said, you know, God, this is what I need. And he's providing. He's supplying. Bible says that he shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I know what the word says. And I believe. You know, we read here, it says, you must really, really believe. Well, I really, really believe. I haven't thought about it not happening. I'm not thinking about how good it is whenever the manifestation comes, you know, when the bills are paid off and I get to jump up and down like the guy that got a new Toyota a couple years ago when I had that commercial, you know, what a feeling or whatever. You know, but the thing about it is God is a good God. Amen.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what Simon says. What really matters is what does Jesus say and are you doing what he says? And I always pray every time when I start to preach, you know, speak, you know, being a doer of God's word. Being a doer is doing what Jesus says. Each and every time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, for helping us always to be a doer of your word, Father. And Father, we thank you that you'll help us in life each and every day to do the things that your son Jesus Christ has told us to do, to be more mindful, more loving, more forgiving, more compassionate, more merciful toward other people, Father. But Father God, we thank you also whenever there's things in our life, there's mountains that are in front of us and there's situations that are in front of us. Father God, we thank you that you have the wherewithal to move that mountain out of the way. And we can speak to that mountain and it has to move. We can ask for those things and they have to be done in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know the Jesus you're talking about. So I can't ask Jesus to do anything because I don't even know him. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life, you can tonight. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, at one time I walked with the Lord and but I've kind of turned my back and I went away. And I want to come back home. I want to make him Lord and Savior of my life again. If that's you, if you've never been saved or you want to rededicate your life to God tonight, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. If you're here and you've never been saved or you want to rededicate, Just lift your hand. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you right now. If anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord, their Lord and Savior, we thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Praise God. If you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, I want you to come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. I don't know about you, but I'm a little hot. I don't know if that's the anointing or if that's just heat. But anybody else warm? Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Well, you know, I like air conditioning. Amen. Amen. But if you need healing, whether it's a small thing, whether it's a big thing, amen, come on down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Morgan, I want you to just lift both hands toward God. I want you to think about Jesus Christ and your healer. Father God, we just thank you right now as we lay hands upon Morgan. We thank you, Father, for doing a miracle in his life, Father. We thank you, Father, for touching his life. And we thank you that whatever needs to take place in this situation, we thank you that it will take place, Father. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for. We thank you, Father, right now that this mouth, everything will come in line. Everything will be like it needs to be, Father. And we thank you, Father, for this. We thank you, Father, for doing a miracle in his life, Father. We thank you, Father, for in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for it now. We thank you, Father, that it's done now. It's done now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You can just stand right there, Rocky. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father God, we thank you for Rocky. We thank you for his life. And we thank you right now that you're touching him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And we thank you for ministering healing to this body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. God's good. Amen. 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 Well, praise the Lord. We're so glad that you're with us tonight. Amen. And like I said, Mom and Dad, they're supposed to be here next week. And I said they're supposed to be here. I'm planning on being here, but you just never know. So don't be upset if I show up again next week. All right? But it will probably be them. You know, because it is disappointing. I've been there before whenever I'm, especially on the road with my grandfather, whenever he's asked me to speak or whatever, and then some people get disappointed. So it's like, you know, whatever. I'm more funny than he is anyway, so it doesn't really matter anyway. Amen. Well, praise God. You know, we just miss around here. I'll be back there to shake your hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, there's doors you can go out over there. All right. God bless you guys. And Mom and Dad, we'll see you next week.